Welcome back, Truth Seekers, to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman in for a vacationing Mike. Mike and Kathy, who are out to spring breaking it this week. I heard something about Fort Lauderdale, Jello shots, wet T-shirt contests. I don't know, but Mike will be back with you next Monday. Until then, you've got me, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Burbank as the sun sets on the West Coast. And as we put you, I was going to say put you to sleep on the East Coast. No, no. Put you to bed? Go to bed with you? I don't know. Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, is going to be joining us momentarily, but I want to make sure that folks got those email addresses and that folks used those email addresses. Change starts with you. And after this witch hunt against Acorn, after they were put out of business, or were they? We're going to find that out when we talk to Bertha in a moment. They were, you know, put out. This was a hit job, not just a high-tech lynching, but a media-enabled lynching by the New York Times, the paper of record, and all the rest who went along with this hoax, this phony pimp hoax that was not what you saw in those highly edited, severely edited tapes. It was a hatchet job. It was meant to take them down, and I would argue, because they had the temerity to register hundreds and thousands of low- and middle-income Americans to participate legally in their own democracy. So, the New York Times, you need to get in touch with Bill Keller, the executive editor, and ask him to do the right thing, correct the record, retract, put out apologies, and investigate what happened so that it doesn't happen again. That's the key. Whether it's Acorn or any other group, this kind of stuff cannot happen again. Bill Keller, the executive editor, is executive-editor at nytimes.com. That's executive-editor at nytimes.com. Please write him and CC John Geddes, the managing editor, managing-editor at nytimes.com. Managing-editor at nytimes.com. Be polite. But ask them to do the right thing once and for all. A correction, a retraction, an apology to their readers and to Acorn, and an investigation and explanation as to how this happened and what they're going to do to assure it doesn't happen again, because you can bet your bottom dollar, unless there is accountability, and it was, make no mistake, a cover-up at the New York Times by the senior editor for standards, Greg Brock, facilitated as well by the public editor, Clark Hoyt. You can read all about it at bradblog.com. You can read the actual unedited emails at bradblog.com. It's all there. So, how did this happen? Why did this happen? We're going to find out here momentarily. We're going to speak to Bertha Lewis. Our phone number, by the way, and I've kept the third hour here after this all open for your calls. So I'd love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. It's not the Malloy's normal number, so write it down. 877-520-1150. And you can also tweet us at the Brad Blog. And I will do my best to keep an eye on it. And if you have any questions for Bertha Lewis, bring them on in. Okay, well, we are going to be, here we go. We're going to be joined here now by Bertha Lewis. She is, of course, the CEO and chief organizer of the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, otherwise known as ACORN, a position she took over. She took over that position in June of 2008. Acorn, of course, was previously, at least, the largest community organization in the country, a four-decade-old anti-poverty organization with some 400,000 member families in 75 cities across the country. Bertha Lewis, welcome to the Mike Malloy Program.
Oh, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. You know, and I've been covering you. I've been covering Acorn for I don't know how many years. I know I've been covering it back, trying to, you know, get the news out about the phony voter fraud that the GOP put forward. But you and I have never actually spoken or communicated via email. So I really am delighted to have you here tonight.
Well, I've been reading your stuff. I do read Brad Block, and as I encourage everyone to do. So it's really good. It's a real privilege to be on with you.
All right. Well, thank you. Now, the first question is free. After that, I'll get tough with you. But the first one is free. What did Bertha Lewis tell us, you know, your best 30-second pitch here, what it was that Acorn did, and we're going to talk about what they will do in the future, if anything, but what is it that they did, and what services will be gone if Acorn disappears here?
Well, we organized low and moderate income folks across the country. We fought in neighborhoods and organized folks to take collective action around affordable housing, better schools, better streets, fair and equitable pay in the workplace. And, yes, we registered 1.3 million people. We were very successful at it, and we moved those folks to the polls. We also sounded the alarm 10 years ago about predatory lending and the subprime market, and we actually predicted what was going to happen. But, of course, nobody listened to us back then. And we did provide services for folks like free income tax preparation and lead abatement and also providing fire extinguishers for low-income folks so that they would have some protection. So we've done many, many things from potholes to the presidency for 40 years.
And also in Katrina, I think you were and continue to be instrumental helping those folks down there, correct?
Absolutely, and making sure that displaced people got back to New Orleans. We did a lot of gutting of houses, stopped homes from being bulldozed, and that work still goes on.
And what do you attribute, you've heard my opinion, but what do you attribute this years-long assault attack by Republicans on a group like, I mean, I think, by the way, what was your yearly operating budget? I think it was $25 million, something like that.
Well, that was nationally? In a very good year, spread across, as you said, 400,000 members, 75 cities, with over 600 staff. So when you look at that between dues and foundations and other contributors, that was a buildup of over 40 years, and that would be at our peak. We didn't always operate at that, but sometimes between $10 and $20 million for an organization as big as ours.
That was it, $10 and $20 million.
That was
it. And of
That's it.
We're talking about, is that number correct, around the $3.5 million in federal tax dollars averaged over each of those 15 years?
Well, it's about 15 years, and all of that, all of it, every dime went to provide those services for free tax preparation, for lead abatement, for home safety. You know, we never, ever, 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 in every investigation we've been exonerated over and over where it has been shown that we've never used any funds for partisan activities, and all of our voter registration, which never used government funds, were nonpartisan. So this was an attack on an organization that was effective, organizing for people, and that actually annoyed the right for many, many years.
And why do you think they came after you the way that they did, Bertha Lewis?
I think they did because you hit the nail on the head. If we had been a nice little quiet group just providing services and, you know, warm coats in the winter and that kind of thing, we would not have been a threat to them. But we were very effective. When you have a very effective voter registration operation, which was of high quality, the biggest in the country, and you actually organize those folks and move them to the polls in record numbers, and they begin to vote not for personalities, not for parties, but they vote on issues like raising the minimum wage, which we led that fight for 10 years, voting for living wages. You become a real threat because you're effective, you have organized folks, and you dare to actually have the poor participate and have a voice in this democracy.
But what about the voter fraud? We're going to talk about that in a second with Bertha Lewis, CEO of Acorn. Find out the truth about that dastardly voter fraud. So get your facts straight, Bertha. We're going to take a quick break here. Come back with much more. Bertha Lewis, hopefully we'll get to your calls at 877-520-1150. I got a lot of questions, too. So stick with us there, Bertha. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Much more after this.
There is a season
Friedman on the Mike Malloy program, speaking with Bertha Lewis, the CEO of Acorn, the once and future Acorn. Bertha, we were talking about these the hit job on you guys that announced that forced you to announce that you were shuttering the doors at the local organizations, at least on April 1st, just a few days ago. And we're going to talk about the future of Acorn shortly. But what about these charges of voter fraud, 40-something investigations, Bertha? Where there's smoke, there's fire. John McCain said that this was a threat to the very fabric of democracy. What do you have to say about that, Bertha Lewis?
Actually, John McCain and the Republican Party and the far right are the threat to democracy, and they are actually tearing the threads apart. Let me tell you, anyone who's ever done voter registration knows you must turn in each and every card. Never, ever, ever has anyone ever voted and fraudulently because of being registered by Acorn. In fact, what they don't tell you is for every single person that was prosecuted, we were the ones that turned them in. We were the ones that cooperated with the authorities. It is stupid to believe that we would want to register people so that they could vote and then put in a bunch of phony cards. In fact, it was Acorn that sounded the alarm and ripped off the cover of voter suppression, in which RNC officials and Republicans were convicted. Those were the only people who were ever convicted of doing anything with voting fraudulently. But here's the bigger thing.
Yeah.
And here's the point that I think your listeners would probably agree with. Acorn or any other organization should not have to do voter registration. In this great democracy, don't you think that if we want everyone to have a chance to participate, that if we had universal registration, you turn 18, you're a citizen of this country, you should be automatically registered by the government, this democratic government, constitution.
You're talking about a public option in our elections, Bertha Lewis?
Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely. We give people birth certificates. We give them driver's licenses. If you want people to participate, and the greatest activity they could do it as an American, get third parties out of the business of registering folks. We think that Republicans, Democrats, independents, everyone should demand that there be universal registration.
Okay, then if you guys were in, and I agree because I've looked into this over and over, through and through, there is not, as you said, not a single instance of any vote being fraudulently cast vis-a-vis an improper ACORN registration ever anywhere.
Every investigation has vindicated us. And in fact, people remember Alberto Gonzalez, who was removed, that all started because Karl Rove sent him after us to try to trump up or prove that we were doing voter registration.
That's right. The whole U.S. attorney purge, the whole U.S. attorney purge was built on this. But now, why then did not you sue Fox News when you had guys like Dick Morris showing up calling you a criminal organization, saying your sole purpose was to commit voter fraud, Bertha Lewis? Why didn't you sue? I saw this just last week on CNN, this idiot Drew Griffin, who repeated the same nonsense. Why weren't you proactive to do something about these people?
Well, first of all, let me just say about CNN and Fox News, I heard you mention New York Times earlier. Believe me, CNN did the same thing as the New York Times, swallowed whole anything that Fox News put out. And Drew Griffin is one of the worst. And, you know, he'll just perpetuate a lie. They should be real investigative reporting. And I would say that your listeners, they need to bombard CNN so that they get it right, and they need to also bombard Fox News. But it's easier said than done to go around suing someone. Part of the reason that we had so many financial problems was not only was funding cut off and then people rushed to judgment, but if you spend your days and nights paying lawyers, doing depositions.
I know. I hear you. Hang on, Bertha. I got to get to a hard break here. My apologies. You can stick with us, right?
That's okay.
All right. Don't waste your time with Fox News, folks. Go after CNN and New York Times. Fox is going to lie anyway. Nothing you can do about it. we're talking to Bertha Lewis. Brad in for Malike, for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back to the Malloy program. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. And we're speaking with Bertha Lewis about the witch hunt, the ACORN witch hunt that took this organization down, or did it? It was a phony ACORN, a phony witch hunt from the get. It was Republicans who can't stand the fact that low and middle income people might get to participate in their own democracy by voting legally. All right, when we went to a break, Bertha Lewis, we were talking about the reason you said that you did not go after some of these folks like Fox News and so forth was because of the cost of the lawsuits, the suits you had to defend against and so forth. But I would argue, and I would ask you also about, you know, why there was not suits filed against O'Keefe and Giles and Breitbart, where they clearly violated the law. I know that's a big cost, but look at the cost now. You guys have been knocked out of business. At least your local chapters are shuttered, closed down as of first of this month.
Well, it ain't over until the fat lady sings. Yes, we've been, you know, we have been hurt. I do think that this is an object lesson for everyone in this country. We were the canary in the mine. They came after us in very vicious ways, and we've seen now what has been happening with this Tea Party movement, what's been happening with the very vicious and just really uncivil way in which political debate is being conducted in this country. The fact of the matter is they lost. They didn't like to lose. And when you go up against corporate America, you go up against some of the most rich and powerful people in this country, which Acorn did, and I don't think it was just because we registered folks to vote and moved them to the polls. I mean, we've been going after some pretty powerful people for 40 years. But here's the thing. We have asked law enforcement across the country to go after O'Keefe and Giles, especially because they broke the law. You know, it was the same law that was broken in the Monica Lewinsky case.
Secret wiretapping. But why?
Exactly.
But in Maryland, Bertha Lewis, you had a lawsuit. What happened out there?
We've not been able to get the authorities to do one thing, not one thing. And this is also what should be of concern to folks.
Okay, well,
when people break the law against you, the first thing that has to happen is we've had all of these people come after us, never any criminal charges, never any findings of anything criminal that we've done.
Okay.
When O'Keefe did this blatantly, we cannot get the authorities to prosecute.
Well, Bertha, and by the way, if you're on hold with the question, I'm going to try to get to everybody. So those folks on hold at 877-520-1150. Hang in there. I'm going to try to get to everybody. There was a lawsuit in Maryland that was filed, but then you guys apparently failed to serve Andy Breitbart and James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles. Here was a chance for you to have some accountability. What happened? Why did you not serve them in that lawsuit?
Well, we still have until September to do that, but guess what?
What?
Part of the attacks on us is we were a money-making machine. Right now, Andrew Breitbart and Hannah Giles and James O'Keefe, they have over a $2 million war chest that they have bragged about that they're going to use to discover us to death, to crush us with all kinds of legal maneuverings. $2 million in their war chest already. Unfortunately, we don't have those kinds of resources. We just can't do it. And the other thing is, we actually have work to do. Even though we've had to shutter our local offices and allow our local chapters to go their own way because they want to keep doing the work that we've been doing for 40 years. So you make a choice. You make a choice to be responsible, to spend your money in a responsible way, serving low and moderate income folks. If we had $5 million to spend on lawsuits defending ourselves, that would be great. But the fact of the matter is, we don't.
Well, I believe in accountability. I believe these guys need to be held responsible. Your funding was lost because of this hit job. Something needs to be done, and I suspect some money could be raised if you said, hey, this is it. We're going after the bad guys, the folks who came after us, the Andy Breitbarts, the phony pimps, those liars. I suspect you could raise plenty of money to have a lawsuit against Dick Morris, who lied about you and called you a criminal organization. Let me get to some calls here, Bertha Lewis. Let me get to Art. Art in D.C. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Hi, Brad. This is Art Levine. I covered Acorn a few years ago, for American Prospect.
You did. A great, great reporter, Art
and
Levine. Thanks for calling.
I have a question for Bertha, which is two-part. One is, in the initial weeks of the firestorm, did you effectively get out to both the progressive media and the mainstream media that your staffers filed police reports about that the illegal propositioning that, you know, allegedly happened? That's the first question. And then the second is, where was the progressive media before the mainstream media picked up, not counting Brad? Where was the progressive media in coming to your defense, or progressive organizations, in those weeks when you were being smeared in those early weeks?
Great questions. Bertha, want to take a shot?
Well, I do have to say, you know, from the very beginning when we first started to be attacked on the voter registration. We put out report after report, real facts, to the progressive media, to anyone that we possibly could. Believe you me, in September when those tapes came out, we did our own analysis. We were trying to get people to understand that this is not what you think that you see.
Then why did you, Bertha, then why did you fire those folks? Why did you fire those employees?
And let me go back to that.
Okay.
Number one, when I took over in June of 2008, when I took over, we were already under attack, and everyone was held to a higher standard. Everyone was on high alert. And we had a process that we followed. There was protocols that we followed. And those folks, even though they didn't do anything wrong on those tapes, those folks broke that protocol. And I had fired many people throughout the organization because I wanted to make sure that we were solid and that we were doing what we needed to do to have good governance and good structure. So internally, those folks did not meet the protocol, and that is why they were terminated.
Okay,
right
well, then let me ask you about the police report. Hang on.
And we tried. We published the police reports. We constantly were trying to get anyone that we could just to listen to us. In fact, we were trying to get people to understand that these folks never came in those costumes.
One of those people, Bertha Lewis.
We couldn't get that through.
Yeah, no, you couldn't. And I know, and of course the media wasn't interested in that story, but Juan Carlos Vera, the fellow out here in San Diego, the employee who, as we saw last night on Rachel Maddow's show, she finally covered this. She played some of the unedited videos that Giles and O'Keefe finally turned over, and it shows him trying to gather information, which the Attorney General now says he wanted to gather so he could contact his cousin, who was a detective, and file that police report. But yet he was fired. So what protocol did he violate that led him to be fired?
It was never even reported to us internally that an incident like that had occurred. However, let me just say that some of the employees have been reinstated, and they've gone through training, and they've been cooperating with these investigations, so they were off staff during that time. But let me just say, once again, very high standards here. And when folks don't report things that they shouldn't, that's our internal discipline. But the bigger point is this. We said at the time that he reported it to his cousin. We said at the time that we put these police reports in. And there was just this wall that we couldn't get around.
Well, I hope that Juan Carlos Vera and the other three, I think it was, the three total ACORN employees out here in California, Governor, not Governor, AG Jerry Brown, formerly governor, maybe future governor, he has said in his report that those workers have every right to sue, to take civil action against these guys. They did, in fact, violate, I think it's Penal Code 632, I'm told from Ernie Canning, an attorney who works at bradblog.com, writes for us. I hope they will take up lawsuits, and if a collection needs to be taken for them, I suspect we could get something, some support there. Art, did Bertha answer your question?
Well, one staffer in Pennsylvania did file a suit, and so she worked for a housing corporation.
Right.
But there's one suit that is already winding its way through, and let me remind your listeners that ACORN versus the United States of America, we actually do have a suit going through court because the Defund ACORN Act was unconstitutional. It is a bill of attainder because you cannot name or single out any one organization or group or individual. So that is a case that we think is far more important. But we do have one of the employees that has brought a case in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I have the second part of my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How, from your perspective, Bertha, in the middle of the firestorm of negative publicity, which is when perceptions are set, how do you feel the progressive media and other liberal groups responded to the attacks that you were facing, and it seems to me they were not very active compared to the attacks you were facing during the McCain attacks on your voter registration. I wanted to get your perception on that.
Well, we certainly would have loved it if people would have mobilized and stood up and saw this as an attack on the entire progressive movement. I think we took a lot of slings and arrows for a lot of folks. We did have support. We had some letters that were in, but there was no real mass mobilization. And I do think for, you know, and I have to say, it's not that I'm ungrateful for the support that we got, because people did go online to contribute to us and really helped us to get through. But I do think, again, this was we were the canary in the mine, and it was just like the McCarthy era. People were subdued. People did not rally and really mobilize and see that an attack on Acorn was an attack on them.
I got to get out.
Clinical.
I got to get to a break here. Bertha Lewis, thanks, Art, for that question. I appreciate it. More on that and with Bertha Lewis coming up right after this break. And what about Acorn? Is it going away for good? We'll find out. Friedman back on the Malloy program, speaking with Bertha Lewis, CEO and chief organizer of the of Acorn, about the once and maybe future Acorn. New York Times reported, where was it, last weekend, an interesting report. They were talking about the future of Acorn, and Ian Urbina notably, apparently they lost their pimp. New York Times reported Acorn has faced a drastic drop in federal money and foundation support after a video sting was publicized last fall. In at least one of the undercover videos, Acorn employees were shown advising a young conservative activist who posed as a prostitute. And that's normally where they say, and pimp. But they didn't, who posed as a prostitute, how to conceal her criminal activities in the course of trying to buy a house. They dropped the pimp. New York Times lost their pimp. Are they tacitly agreeing they got it wrong? Well, they did get it wrong. So where's the correction? Where's the apology? Where is the retractions for the damage that they done? And folks, if you're on hold, we're going to try to get to everybody here. So, Bertha Lewis, the government legislated, they defunded you. Democrats shamelessly, I think it was 172 Democrats, shamelessly voted to defund your organization. That was has since been found to be unconstitutional by a federal judge.
Twice
now, right? And Ernie Canning, an attorney out here, asks in the chat room, "Do you have what's the status of that? Has the government appealed that case? And give me your answers quick, because I want to get to as much as I can."
What they did was they tried to get a stay. That was denied, so they rushed to the Second Circuit, and they filed a notice of appeal.
They are appealing that decision. Unbelievable. Okay. And let me get to a caller here real quick. Going to try to do a whole bunch at once. There we go. Lou Wapdefer from the Great Northeast. Welcome to the Malloy program.
Hey, Brad. Good to talk with you.
Great to talk to you. Appreciate you calling in. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk. talk about a couple of things.
Make them quick because we're coming to the top of the hour. Sorry.
Okay. One is what sort of timeline does Bertha believe was involved in the first attacks against Acorn, including Karl Rove's voter fraud that morphed into the O'Keefe Breitbart stuff?
This has been going on since the year 2000. When Bush and Cheney stole the election in Florida.
Okay, 2000. That's what I thought. Okay. Because what that does, there you've got, I believe, and I think any attorneys listening would understand, a great case for getting damages from the deep pockets that are behind these attacks. There's, I mean, I see that just Breitbart, O'Keefe, and Giles have fraudulently misrepresented themselves with the ultimate intention to put Acorn out of business, and they succeeded in the end. I mean, in effect, in those states where, you know, you've divorced a lot of the businesses.
I gotta get to a break, so I want to get an answer for you, Luapta.
Well,
thanks.
Go to www.acorn.org, and any help that you can give us legally, please go to our website, buy again, and we would be more than happy to have any kind of legal help that we can get.
That's at www.acorn.org, correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
Pro bono attorneys would be useful here.
Absolutely.
Funding would be useful here. Democrats, how do you explain? Oh, boy. Let me ask you, Bertha, are you able to stick over the top of the hour just
sure.
for a few more questions? We've got a couple
sure.
of more callers. I have some questions that I want to get to. Let me ask you this, and then we'll ask you at right at the top of the hour about the future of Acorn. But how do you explain 172 Democrats who voted in favor of the Defund Acorn Act and Obama who signed it? I thought you had them in your pocket. What happened? You got,
well,
10 seconds to answer.
Don't believe everything that you read or you see on Fox News. Look, we've challenged Democrats. We've challenged Republicans for years. I think it was a cost analysis. I think those videos were prurient. People rushed to judgment. They had the health care to do, and I guess they figured, well, listen, we're not going to get into this. Acorn's expendable, so let's just go ahead. We fought that off four times before that, but as one of them said to me, oh, those videos were just a bridge too far.
If they keep throwing under the bus these expendable people, like hundreds of thousands of folks at Acorn, Van Jones, and everyone else, they're going to run out of people who are expendable. Bertha Lewis, she's going to stick with us for just a few more minutes to hit your calls and find out if Acorn will continue to live another day. Brad, in Fort Malloy, stay with us.